for this evening will be coming from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe their every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Looking up the scripture reading, but the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Right now, the earth is covered mostly with water. In the new earth and the new heaven, there will be no need for a sea. So I don't know if the earth's going to contract a little bit more, or it's going to expand, be all dry land. Be that it may. Why do we need to discuss heaven? Well, one scripture gives us one reason, Colossians 2:18-19. "Let no one defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on the vision he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body has been supplied and held together by the joint and ligament, grows with the growth which is from God." What is that prize? Crown of victory. Where will you get the crown of victory? In heaven. Now, when Paul wrote this in the Colossians, talking about the if inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, he was referring to the Grecian philosophers in those times. Today we have the same situation. We have to deal with the atheist, agnostic, and quite frequently we have to deal with our brethren who finds it amusing to joke about heaven, like the gold brick, angel with wings, sitting on a cloud, singing forever. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful when we listen to our people talking about heaven like that. They will chip away from what you hold dear about heaven. The Jewish people sometimes speak of seven heavens. And Muhammad has preached the idea just as well. But the Bible speaks of three heavens. And among the Christians in the New Testament age, these people spoke of three heavens. This slide shows a flock of birds flying through the sky with a mountain in the background. And you can see some cloud here. This is what you call a first heaven. The first heaven mentioned in the scripture is the sky, the abode of birds, drones, airplanes. The clouds and rainbows are also included. Genesis 1:20, then God said, let the water teem with the form of living creature, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heaven. Job 12:7, but now ask the beast, and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, let them tell you. Psalm 8:8-9, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So the first heaven is what we are in now. And the next slide is called a second heaven. It includes the, I don't have a picture of the sun, but it includes the moon, and you can probably see the stars. If you see the cloud here, that's part of the first heaven. Right above, it would be considered a second heaven. The stars are so many light years away, and the moon, not quite a quarter of a million miles. You go further on out using the Hubble telescope. It's a picture of nebula, mostly gas. How far away? 7,000 light years. And this picture here, Hubble Ultra Deep Field. Now, all you see this little spot here, those aren't stars. Those are the galaxies. Those are the galaxies. 5 to 10 billion light years away. Now, that should give you some appreciation of maybe the size of a third heaven. The next slide, I put it all together, I found it online. You have the third heaven, which is this part here. The first heaven includes the earth and the atmosphere. Second heaven is what we can see with the telescope. And the third heaven the scripture addresses is unseen realm, that is the residence of God and angels. In Ephesians 1:20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Paul tells us about a man who visited this third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into a paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. So this is the third heaven that we are expecting to go to when we pass away. The good news is that everybody will get to heaven. That's the good news. The Lord is in the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eye behold, his eye let test the sons of men. In Romans 14:10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? But we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. The bad news, not everybody's going to get to stay though. Matthew 7:23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Instead of hanging around, they will be told to depart. Now, what is a heaven? Heaven is a place. We cannot see it, but it's there. Jesus said in John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Like where I am, there you may be also. Heaven will be like a mansion like we have never seen before. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1-2. So we should be looking forward to going to heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Philippians 3:20-21. Heaven is described as the city had no need for the sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. Revelation 21:23. Heaven will always be pure, but there shall be by no means enter it in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:27. There will be no evil people in heaven. Heaven is an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. We do not work and earn heaven, but we inherit by being a faithful child of God. In heaven, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, but the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. There will be no tears or crying in heaven, because there will be nothing there to cause them. There will never be another sad moment, because there will be nothing but joy and happiness. In heaven, there will be no funerals or cemeteries, because people there will live forever in the land where we never grow old. There will be no pain, sickness, or hurt in heaven, because we will have an immortal body like the Lord's body. As human beings, we cannot even begin to understand the glories of heaven, even if we were given a lengthy description. The only way we will understand how wonderful heaven is going to be is to see it for ourselves. So let's make sure that we go to heaven and not hell. So let's talk about going to heaven. Our number one priority in this life must be going to heaven. That's our number one priority. Going to heaven. Nothing else is as important. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Our soul is the most precious thing we have. There is nothing that can equal the value. We read in Matthew 16:26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is no profit in the tragic loss of his soul. It is easy in today's materialistic society to get caught up in the pursuit of materialism if we are not careful. Our Lord says in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves in treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we need to have a bank account in heaven. In other words, don't wear yourself out spending your days in providing for the life here. Instead, do the will of God. Look at Luke 10:38-42. "Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the service alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" So every day we need to remind ourselves that the main thing in this life is go to heaven. Not the main thing, going to heaven. We read in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We should regularly think about going to heaven. Heaven is a place prepared by Jesus for a prepared people. It will be a wonderful place which is beyond our dreams. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." There is no way that heaven can be described so we, as mortal human beings, can understand how wonderful it will be. A person will not get lucky or accidentally go to heaven. Going to heaven is a lifelong race, as we read in Hebrews 12:1. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Going to heaven requires endurance, patient, and persistent. We must finish the race. God has provided a way for all of mankind to be saved and go to heaven if they want to go. Even though the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:6. God will not force anyone against their will to go to heaven. There seem to be many people today who have chosen not or chosen poorly to go to heaven. Look what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As free moral agent, every person makes the choice as to where he will spend eternity. Jesus says, there are few people who have chosen to go to heaven, but the vast majority will be lost in hell. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Many people don't believe this. Jesus continues to say in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Men will say to me that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Why? Why are the many going to be lost in hell? They hadn't done the will of the Father in heaven. In the counterfeit gospel, they choose to do the will of men instead of the will of God. Why hadn't they done God's will? According to Paul, he said in Galatians 1:6-8, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Apparently, these people, they didn't make a careful search in the scriptures that much to go to heaven. Today, many people fail to recognize that the inheritance in heaven is far more valuable than all the riches in the world. They fail to realize its worth. Our Lord said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Matthew 13:44-46. We must spare no expense or effort in our lives to obtain the inheritance of heaven. Our inheritance came at a great price, the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He purchased our inheritance with his own blood, Acts 20:28, which has qualified us to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints and the light. He has delivered us from the power of the darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:12-13. Our Lord tells us in Matthew 7:13-14 that only a few people will go to heaven, but the vast majority will be eternally lost in the burning fires of hell. This is not a pleasant thought, but all of us will make the choice as to where we will spend eternity. The only way to even grasp how long eternity will be is to think that if we have been in hell for 80 years, Eternity hasn't started yet. Now, think about the eternity. If you don't want to think about a billion years, a million years, a thousand years, you want to think about your term of your life, 80 years. And in this instant here, if you have been in hell for 80 years, eternity hasn't started yet. Our soul is the most precious thing we possess. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Our soul is worth more than the whole world put together. If we lose our soul in hell, we are eternally toast. If we miss heaven, we will only have ourselves to blame. Jesus wants us to pay attention to what he is trying to tell us. He says in Matthew 13:41-43, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom, the church, that would be us, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Our Lord is trying to warn us if we will only listen. He has already paid the offer price for our salvation, and he doesn't want to see it wasted. For a child of God, sin in our life will keep us out of heaven. Because of unrepented sins, our name will be blotted out from the book of life. Revelation 22:19 says, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city. So if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Jesus has promised it, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. If you were to die today, do you know for certain, without doubt, that you would go to heaven and be with the Lord forever? Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So your number one priority in this life must be to go to heaven. Nothing is as important as this. You cannot afford to miss heaven. To receive the inheritance, you must come to God in accordance to his term, as stated in the Bible. To receive the inheritance, you must be one of his children. How do you become a child of God so that you can qualify for the inheritance? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. If you have been baptized into Christ, it is in him also we have obtained an inheritance, Ephesians 1:11. When you are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, so you can be saved, then you know you are his child and are entitled for the inheritance. After you have been baptized into Christ, it is through the Holy Spirit revealed word of New Testament that the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:16-17. You then should be assured, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Colossians 3:24. You should then rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for the great is your reward in heaven. Matthew 5:12. You then have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. You should then live a faithful life and be more even diligent to make this calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Then on the judgment day, you will hear the Lord say to you, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34. If you are not a Christian, how do you get your name written in the book of life so you can be saved and go to heaven? Our Lord says in Luke 13:3, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus also said, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10:32. Our Lord then tells us, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16:16. On the other hand, has your name been taken out of the book of life? If it has, then this is an extremely horrific matter, because Revelation 20:15 says, "And anyone who not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Yet, God wants to forgive you. The prayers of a congregation can help you in getting your name reinstated in the book of life. So, in view of all this, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?